Well, good evening, everybody, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I guess that means that women are here chatting at you, not that only women are allowed. And tonight I have with me Karen, who is back at the ranch again. So good evening, Karen.
Good evening, Robin, and all.
And Anne won't be with us tonight, but hopefully she'll be back next week. And I have Megan here in Vermont with me. Hello, Megan.
Hello. Hello.
And tonight we're going to go through a teaching, seven steps to fighting in the spirit. And to start us off, and Megan's going to be our reader tonight because Karen's internet has been a bit flaky, and so for safety's sake, we're going to have Megan read to us with a South African accent.
Indeed.
And we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16.
It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
Seven steps to fighting in the spirit. So we're going to go through seven things. But here is a prayer that Paul prayed. And if you go up a couple verses, you can see where he began. And it's a prayer to pray that the Lord would grant you to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And then, you know, and pray it. You don't have to just pray it once. Pray it. And then get up and begin to do the will of God by the Spirit. Megan or Karen? I just said about praying that prayer and praying it more than once.
Sure. It's the sort of thing that is worth praying on a daily basis.
But then you get up and you move forward knowing that God will answer that prayer. And we're supposed to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. This is something we should be about all the time. And so we're going to study about it. Seven steps to fighting in the Spirit. Did either of you want to say anything more before we move to Ephesians 6?
Not I, Robin.
Okay, good. We didn't lose Karen. Praise God. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. These are familiar scriptures. This one's going to be familiar to you. Megan?
Yes. Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I have to say, I remember Davey very clearly talking about how he used to kind of manually in the spirit put on the armor of God, and then the Lord showed him that actually in Christ Jesus you're clothed with his armor. This is his armor. But it is something that we need to take up and use. And we all know these scriptures, so you can go back to chapter 6 and read on and see what that armor is. These are things that we're to put on and make use of. And you gotta be familiar with them. You gotta be about doing that. He says, put it on, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot do this in your carnal man. And if you stop and think about how you live your days, and you see the end of your days, the end of your day, and you look at it, you can take a look and see whether you stood and fought in the spirit or in the flesh. If you did it in the flesh, I don't care how you feel about your day, you didn't have good success. It is an aspect of the walk of faith. And by faith, we do these things. So we put on the whole armor of God. We got to know what that armor is. We got to be mindful of that armor, and we have to then use and exercise ourselves in that use. And then it goes on to something that I think is extremely important. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. How much do you wrestle against flesh and blood, against people?
But that includes yourself.
Includes yourself. But we get wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where what we're wrestling against. And that was a really good point, Megan, that we got to wrestle them down in us. But also remember that's what we're battling out there.
You mentioned about the end of the day and looking at kind of how you feel your day went, if you will. And the truth is that you can never, ever look at your feelings as a judge of whether you are in or out of the Lord. Because your feelings, firstly, will never lead you to Him. But that doesn't mean that there isn't sometimes joy in Him. So, at all times, you know, the standard is His Word and our hope and our trust in Him, not as our performance, how we feel about our performance in a day, or, you know, not our performance, but our, you know, how we did through the day, what we did through the day.
Performance isn't a bad word, how we performed.
Sure.
I mean, the thing is, whenever we look at ourselves with our feelings and judge ourselves according to our feelings, that is our carnal man. And the beautiful thing about joy in the Lord is it never departs if you have that hope that is only found in Him. And that hope is not just the hope of, I mean, it is the hope of His mercy by which we are saved, but it's also because of that, it is the hope of what he is doing in us, and that we're passing really from that body of death and entering in to be not only found in Him, but also to be then servants of Him, doing His will, being a partaker of that which is needful on this earth, which is spiritual warfare. We're going to see it as it goes down. And it really all starts with wrestling things down with us personally. And then we are free and merciful to do likewise for the sake of others. And it kind of will open up as we go down. But,
Rob?
Yes.
Can we read a couple of verses in Romans 8?
Yes.
Verses
5 and 6.
I was actually looking at 6 and 7, but we could start at 5.
Yes, you can read 5, 6, and 7.
Here we go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
So then you should read verse 8 too.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
And we all actually want to be pleasing to God.
Yeah, I read this morning and it was very striking that the carnal mind isn't subject to the law of the Lord, and it never will be. it is not able to be because, you know, that's, it's cursed. And that can't please the Lord.
Amen. And you know, it's a good way to look at where you're at and your actions and what you're struggling with, because you can see whether you are struggling in your flesh to overcome or if you're struggling by faith in the spirit or fighting. Let's put the word fighting on that one, because though it is a struggle, it is a victorious struggle. In the flesh, it isn't. But you got to know the word of God. Go ahead.
You had mentioned before we started about putting out a question. Do you remember it?
You may state it, since I kind of forget how the clarity of it.
Well, the question really was, how did you start your day? Today, say. Did you start it in the flesh or did you start it in the spirit?
Yeah. How do you live
your day? Yep, and it's a simple question to ask yourself at this point in the day, realizing that this day is not yet over and His mercy is new every morning, but it's sufficient for everything in one day, and then it's new tomorrow. And so it's something to recall to mind periodically.
You cannot have a hope of overcoming if you don't believe God. He has said that you are more than conquerors in Him. If you do not believe that, and if you are looking for things in your life to change so that you're at peace, you got a wrong idea. Because life isn't going to change. And when I say that, I don't care if something changes, but the truth is the problem resides in you, not in your surroundings.
Yeah, which is why if you move locations, you run into the same issues.
The same day, you bring them with you because it's you. You're the issue. But when you get a handle on faith and actually believing God, then you have a hope that transcends how poorly you fought the battle to this point. What a flippin' failure you've been. It all gets washed away because now you know the truth. In Him, you can do all things. And when you have that mindset and you have that knowledge, yeah, it doesn't mean you're always pleased with yourself. Well, you may never be pleased with yourself, but you're not ruled by that anymore. Now you're ruled by the hope that you have in Christ. And you can then read what Paul says when, you know, on the one hand he says, not that, I forget how he puts it in the beginning, but he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He knew that God was true. And he knew it was attainable. And it wasn't something that was going to make his flesh look perfect and everybody say, oh, how holy he was. But it was that place where he fought to trust God and him only, to believe his word in him only, to do his will and it only. And his flesh was always there to dissuade him. And he gives testimony of that. But we know in the end he gives testimony of having fought a good fight, having kept the faith. That meant every day he made choices, however many times, to keep the faith, notwithstanding how he felt, how things looked like, what was happening to him, and what was happening in him.
Yeah, too many times we get caught up with how things look like in our lives and what we think of ourselves. And there was something that was very striking that stayed with me that Davey said a couple or three ministers meetings ago. And he said that you should never worry about what you think of you, because none of that matters. And I still remember that standing out to me because it was like a wow moment for me.
Yeah. It kind of points, shines a light on how often we are really all about ourselves, because that is an element of being all about ourselves. We gotta accept the fact that ourselves in the natural man isn't anything to write home about. it's never gonna be. It's nothing to stand up and beat your breast and say, oh, look how great I am. And we gotta get where that's okay. You can't serve the Lord if you're gonna be wanting to look something or be somewhat in your natural man. You can't do it because you're subject to your natural man. And we find ourselves subject to our natural man, but we can put that off and turn again. And that's something we have to do. There isn't any justification for not doing it. There's compassion because, oh ye of little faith, and I don't say that like, oh ye of little faith, but I mean there's compassion because we certainly start out with little faith and all, but we're supposed to do even as Paul said, where he finished his course, he kept the faith. He became strong in the faith. Abraham became strong in the faith. We have a great cloud of witnesses of people who the Lord raised up because they passed through these things and believed God and chose to keep their hope and their faith and their mind steadfast upon Him. And we see the mighty fruit it bore. But they had to get past themselves. They had to get their...
And they had to fight.
Yeah, it was...
Fight constantly. This is about fighting in the spirit. It's not something that you fight and you're done. It goes on and on and on, and you have to continually choose what you know you must do, which is to choose Jesus and not choose yourself.
It all begins with us, doesn't it? Megan, would you read before we move to the second point, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5?
2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5.
Yes.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. That's not where the warfare takes place. It would be we'd be defeated from the beginning. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean, take a look at yourself and the strongholds in your life. They're
strongholds
spiritual
weapons.
Go ahead.
Strongholds are insidious things. It could be, you know, the fact that you were such an A-plus student can be a stronghold. It can be that you were on the other end of the spectrum. Can be a stronghold. Anything that is a high place, if you will, or something that we hold on to instead of wanting to put that aside, anything that hinders us in the Lord, anything that is basically a hindrance to the Lord and His ways. You know, something that the first, we're talking, as you know, about seven steps to fighting in the Spirit. And the first point that we're still talking about is ask the Lord to use your spirit. And we know Hebrews talks about considering Jesus and what He went through as opposed to us, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. The fight in the Spirit takes place with our choice to fight in the Spirit. That's where it takes place. We have to choose that. And it's something that we can, you know, I know Steve has talked about praying and asking the Lord to drive him to accomplish his will. And he uses as a kind of a reference for that. When Jesus was baptized, the next thing that happened was the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. But he was, you know, that was, he was fighting a good warfare in the Spirit at the time, as obviously he always did.
Yes. Amen. I think that one of the important things you have to understand is that we all have many thoughts, and we've all have many reasons why we can't do this or we can't do that or blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, we can be so caught up in what we've always known. And I know this personally. I only knew bad things, so to speak. For whatever reason, that's how I had walked out my life. And to realize that, and to begin to realize that they were actually lies, and not the truth. Now, I don't mean that this didn't happen to me or that didn't happen to me, but the truth trumps everything if we will hear it and receive it. And then we are, have the power to then put off, as it said in 2 Corinthians, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. These all fall into that bracket. Because we come to the Lord and we have shored ourselves up by so many false things and so many excuses and so many justifications. And these all need to be cast off. We're now on the rock. We don't need them anymore. We don't need them. But it's what we've known, what we're comfortable with, what has ruled us. But you gotta let the Lord show you that they're a lie. And let Him set you free. And a lot of it comes from hearing. You know, we come Sunday services, we come Wednesday and Tuesday and many on Thursdays and Fridays and Sundays. There's Bible studies that different people partake in. But do we hear them and believe them? Because we'll get wake up the next morning and our life, we're still believing what we believed the day before. And we got to begin to believe God. And I'll just give you a kind of a small example without trying to get too personal. But when I came under discipleship with Steve, he would be able to tell you how long suffering had to be with me on this point. But the way I looked at myself, especially in the context of my natural family, he would come against me and come against me and come against me and come against me. I don't know how many times he did. Like I said, I'm sure he could remember how many, far more than me. Before I finally began to realize that how I looked at myself wasn't how God looked at me and wasn't how I was to look at myself. And when I finally realized that, I was able then to begin to put it off. And praise God that He kept correcting me, disagreeing, you know. He never agreed with that testimony, because it was wrong. And finally, I began to get where I was willing to know it was wrong. And I was able then to begin to cast it off, and it opened the door for me to begin to be able to separate how I felt, though they have been long-standing feelings for me, that I no longer had to be subject to them. And the beautiful thing about the Lord is when you choose to put something off, when you choose to no longer stand in something that isn't the truth, I'm telling you, he shows up in an instant and is there and you're delivered. Now you got to continue in that deliverance, but he had done wait around. I mean, he's there when you make that choice. And gosh, there ain't nothing better than that. And the testimony of it having been a right choice will stay with you forever. But let the Lord show you where you hang on to things. And you might not know you're justifying yourself, but you are. He came to set the captives free. So let him do it. So before we move to step two, Karen or Megan?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Karen?
Not here.
So the second one, as Megan rightly stated, the first was ask the Lord to use your spirit. Now the second one is pray without ceasing. I bet we all raise our hands saying, oh, I already do that. I say, obviously, not speaking truth. Ephesians 6:18.
One thing to remember quickly as we're finding places, that in the last couple of months or so, we've been going through different topics, and we have done studies on praying and on studying the word. So do go back and listen to those again and relook at the verses and whatnot, because those Bible studies were probably done with more than we might cover in this topic. Ephesians 6:18.
Yes, please.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
It's an interesting scripture on a couple of points. Praying always. And this is where it's a mindset about walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. Everything in your life you can, you need to keep before the Lord, seek his help on, trust him for the strength and the wisdom in all that you do. But it goes on, because it's not just about us, of course, but it says, and watching. I remember at this last convention, one of the things that was spoken about was using your spiritual senses. You know, we're all very familiar with our fleshly senses, but we have to begin to exercise our spiritual senses. And the only way to do that is to be watchful, to be alert, to be awake, to be mindful, to be watchful, discerning, seeing what's going on. And then in that place, you're in a position to fight in the spirit on behalf of what is going on. So it goes on to thereunto with all perseverance. So you don't give up. This isn't a, well, I did that, done that. And supplication for who? All saints. Now there's an implication here that all of us need one another to be doing this for us. And we need to be doing it for others. And there's a safety in this that we will benefit from, because you cannot be in this place being mindful of the things of the Spirit, recognizing that what you're dealing with isn't the carnal man, but the spiritual things, as we read in Ephesians earlier on in this chapter. And then you are a part of the battle for others' sakes. And that's an aspect of love. And it's a deliverance from judgment. When people matter to you, you want to see them stand. You want to see them overcome. You want to see all of this stuff, and you can have a part in that coming to pass. Or not. You know, it really comes down to that choice. of what you're going to do and what you're going to walk in. The not part is your carnal man. That's what our carnal man. We don't really care about anybody else. In fact, we can feel good about ourselves when another falls. But the spiritual man, recognizing its own utter need, is pleased to be a part of another person's victory because we share the same exact victory. We don't have a victory of our own. We partake of Christ's victory through his sacrifice. And we can't want it for ourselves without wanting it for another. It's impossible. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, so you don't give up. Think of how long-suffering those who have ministered to each one of us, and I don't need to look at anyone else, and yet they persevered. They did this for me. It's a small thing to learn to do it for another. Megan or Karen?
Takes the fruit of that spirit, which is love.
Yeah.
That's the key.
You know, Karen, when you say that, you can't say you love if your love isn't an active thing, can you?
No. Your love shows.
Yeah. Megan?
I don't have anything extra to add at the moment.
You guys got to get that mute button down quicker. Picking on you. Philippians 4:6.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah. You know, as women, and careful, of course, is, you know, being anxious, worried, getting caught up in something, can't let it go. Women have it's one of their capabilities. I'm sure men have it too, but I think women are the A-plus student in it compared to a man. But we can replace that which is natural, that anxiety, that worry, all of that stuff with lifting things up to our Heavenly Father who cares for us. And it says here, be careful for nothing. That means we're not supposed to ever be in that place. And I don't mean like we don't find ourselves in that place, because we do. But we're supposed to get out of it. And how do we get out of it? By prayer and supplication. Yeah. With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Well, and that thanksgiving is the... when you know that God is and that he's there, he doesn't say to do this and he's going to be off doing something else. He says it because he's there and he wants to have you entrust these things into his hands. It's really a matter of, what does he say? Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's a matter of believing him and doing it. And leaving it in his hands. Getting it off of you and putting it on him. He knows how to sort it out. And he will, if you will trust him.
You know, it's, as you look at be careful for nothing, it's almost like a, be is like a place of dwelling. Do not dwell on cares. They're going to come on you. You're going to get bills and, you know, you're going to get different things that come on you that are more than you can deal with or that you don't know how to sort out, but don't dwell there. Because 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about you. He loves you. He is your provider if you will look to him as your provider. And so you give it to him and he will take care of it. Because he loves you.
But you know,
by prayer and supplication, you know.
With thanksgiving, and that's thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Is really an evidence of the fact that you believe what Megan just said. It comes down to that. When you actually know that what God says is true, then you are so overwhelmingly thankful. And I'm sure many of you don't know that yet, and I get that because I just do. I've spent a lot of time in that place in my life. It comes down to choosing to take God at His word, and that's something you got to exercise yourself in. So tonight we're looking at fighting in the spirit. You got to take Him at His word and do it. But you got to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to believe that. And you got to not give up. And, you know, the fact that He cares for you, we know in James He says, you ask believing, because a double-minded man, don't let that man think he's going to receive anything. And it's not that the Lord doesn't give it. You're just not going to receive it. You're not in a place to receive it. And it all comes back to you or me. We can't lay any of it on God or our husband or our children or our upbringing or our finances or anything. That's a imagination that we were speaking about. It's a high thing. Go ahead.
One of the other things about this is in prayer and supplication, you go before the Lord, you let Him know your requests, and after that, you thank Him for them. And you also rest in the place knowing that He's heard and He will answer. And, you know, if you look at it, if you're about serving Him, if that is what you are really about, not what you think you're about, but what you really are looking to do and to be each day, He's going to make available to you everything you need to do everything He has for you to do. And so in the end of it, there's nothing to be concerned about or worried about or careful about in this sense.
And He goes through in Matthew about, you know, He says, look at nature. Gosh, look at how He clothed the lilies of the valley. He said Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed like one of them. And He feeds the ravens or whatever. I mean, we have got to choose to take Him at His word and believe Him. We have got to know that which He says is the truth. And when we find ourselves subject to a lie and realize it, we can't give ourselves any excuse. We have to just put it off. There's few of us, if any, who were raised in a perfect household with parents that knew how to do this. So this is something that we have a new parent. We have a Father in heaven, and we have parents in the Lord who help us. So what does the past matter? It doesn't. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who giveth to all men and upbraideth not. I mean, there is nothing to stop us except for unbelief and pride. I think we're going to only get through this when we got a couple more scriptures on it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17.
Pray without ceasing. Concise, to the point.
Something to think about. And really the only way to, I mean, not the only, I guess really the only way to do that is pray a lot in the spirit. Because you can't be going around just with your mind praying in that sense. Although you should also always be mindful of the Lord in all things. But one of the tools by which you can and I can walk in obedience to that simple scripture is by praying in the Spirit. And that is praying in tongues. Which leads into the next one, which actually the men last night studied. Jude, verse 20.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. And that is tongues. And that is not only an aspect, a commandment to pray in tongues, but it is also the fruit of it is that you build up your most holy faith. And isn't that what we are about? That's the question. That's the point of this walk, is to become people of a holy and steadfast faith. And I know one thing that was mentioned, because I listened last night on the Bible study on this verse, was the thing about praying in the Spirit is it doesn't edify your carnal man. It edifies your spiritual man. And so many of the things in the Lord, if not everything, is we have a tendency to be about our carnal man. And we have to, through warfare, choose to be about the spiritual man. And tongues is a tool and a way in which to do just that. Go back and listen to last night's Bible study. It is at the end of it because it's one of the final verses in Jude. But it's a good thing to listen to it and listen to it again if you need to. But do you guys have anything else you want to share? Because we're not going to go into number three, which is read and stay in the Word, because we're moving towards 8 o'clock.
One thing is, you're going to fall, and you're going to fail more times than you even realize. But, you know, Hebrews tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Just going to check that, but I think that's what it
says. Yeah, it is, to find mercy and help in
grace.
Time of need.
Yep. Hebrews 4, verse 16, the last verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You're going to fall. So am I. And I don't know about anyone else, but my tendency when I look at myself and I see what I think of as my failings for the day, which I'm sure don't scratch the surface and may even be wrong, it's easy to think, to kind of feel deflated and to go, oh, I failed again, you know, and get down into a bit of a funk and a bit of a heap and whatnot. And we have to know that we come to the Lord not because we succeeded, but because we believe Him. And we know that we need His grace to cover us as we walk and as we grow from strength to strength and as we learn. We need His grace. And we have to, we come boldly before the throne of grace because we need it. But we can only do that when we realize that there's nothing that we can bring. There's nothing that we can of ourselves give to the Lord or that makes us worthy to come to Him for help, for grace, for mercy, except the fact that we believe Him. That is what allows us to go before Him. And so, when you get down in the kind of, I'm not worth it, I don't seem to ever get anything right. You know the thing. I mean, you get it. You've all been there. Maybe today, maybe this minute, you know, whatever.
What are you talking about, Megan? I've heard of that.
I've been there. I've spent some time there. And, you know, you have to get to where you don't want to stay there anymore, where you're tired of that and you want to put it off so that you can stand and fight a good fight, fight the right way, not fight against the flesh because, you know, not against carnal things, I mean, but to rightly place your effort in fighting. And yeah, that's we have to get past
what flippant failures we are.
Yeah, and thinking that somehow we're right and everybody else is wrong. Well, you know, a point that I am bringing to my children's attention at the moment is, well, they weren't, were, you know, whether or not they were right, were you right? And we have this idea that if I'm wrong, that makes the other person right. Well, firstly, that's not true. But secondly, it's somewhat irrelevant. Because when we stand before the Lord, we stand before the Lord on our own. Not with anybody else, no, with no excuses, with no, but my mother taught me this, or my father said that, or my anything. So part of the fight of, you know, learning to fight in the spirit is to just, when you fall, count it all joy, sing praise to the Lord, and go boldly before the throne of grace, which obviously you need, and you know you need, which is why you're going there to get it.
May I throw one thing into what you said, because I know you, we do have something to bring, and that is the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we have the entrance.
Absolutely.
And for me, it is a helpful tool when I feel separate. Even like if I get up in the morning and go to pray or something, I don't start out feeling all one with God or something, you know. But I remember that I come to Him by the blood of the Lamb. And He has already accepted that sacrifice. And I then can enter in because of that sacrifice. And I know, talking about kind of what you're saying, and I know that we have, you know, I was subject to things that, praise God, you are not, nor maybe ever have been, which is a praise God. But I remember when Davy and Ann lived in Vermont, and I'd go to a Bible study on Wednesday night, and I couldn't have been more desirous, as far as I know, to want to do what I heard. And I would wake up the next morning, I didn't even have to get out of bed, and I already was defeated. And it's because I didn't understand. I mean, I was defeated, yeah, in my natural man, but I couldn't figure out how to, I didn't even know there was a switch to be made, to be honest with you. Even though it was spoken to me very plainly, I just didn't get it. And it wasn't until I began to not be subject to my carnal man, which lived in defeat for its entire life. And now I just know that there's no victory there. So I, you know, it's been a great deliverance for me. But, you know, we have a hope in God that we have to walk because of. He transcends everything that we know. And we have got to grab a hold of that and believe it and be ruled by that. And it really has nothing to do with us in a sense, and yet it has everything to do with us. Because when you look at the children of Israel in the desert, they did not enter in because of unbelief. And that unbelief was that they didn't believe God, that they could go in and possess a land that had giants in it, that in the natural sense were way too strong for them. And that was a right assessment. In the natural sense, they could not take the promised land. But God never asked them to take it in a natural sense. Nor does He ask us to overcome in a natural sense. But in Him, we can take on those giants. And in Him, we have to. We have to. We got to learn. And we got to do. And we got to fight rightly. And we got to believe God and have a hope that transcends us. Get people to help you. Pray and ask the Lord to bring you through. To do what it takes. for me, it was a sad years that began to let me go free. But praise God, you know, what does that matter? I mean, it all gets washed away. It just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Knowing Him and believing Him and having the courage to become even as the children that did possess the land, where it started out with one man whom no man could resist, and that was Joshua, the people became of like faith and like stand. That's what this is about. So, I see there's chat. Megan, I didn't read this stuff. Do you want to speak to the chat? We have a couple more minutes.
Sure. Well, there's a question about do we ever know what we're saying when we speak in tongues? Because I don't, and I do it all the time, and it does strengthen me. And we said, we pray in the Spirit by faith, not understanding what is being said, but you're right that praying in tongues strengthens you in the Spirit and builds your most holy faith. Okay, because I didn't know if it came to some people and not others. And there is a gift of interpretation of tongues, and there is even the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12:10. You can read of those. But those gifts are for the edifying of the body, in other words, other people, which is different than the tongues that you get when an apostle lays hands on you and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That the tongues that you get then is there for your own most holy faith to be built up as you exercise yourself in it and you speak in tongues.
Yeah.
And there are other, as you can read in 1 Corinthians 12, there are other gifts as well. Perhaps the most notable one is faith. There is the gift of faith, which is different than the faith that we all have in the sense that it is more. So while there are the gifts of things, there are also some that are there for every single believer for themselves.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for that. Karen, did you have some final words?
Just amen to what you were saying. I don't have anything to add.
Well, may the Lord, as Megan started us out with in Ephesians 3:16, and I'm just going to go there, paging through. May He grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Go after it. It certainly is a prayer the Lord will answer. Amen. And we'll continue on next week. Point three is read and stay in the Word. So with that, may the Lord bless you. And good night. And thanks for joining us.
Good night,
everyone. May the Lord bless you.